if you create a song, the moment that you release it to the world, it is not yours anymore, but it becomes everyone else's. And the people who listen to it will give it their own interpretation, and they will do something with it, and it will never be exactly the same again. And even then, like, if people start playing your song, they can play it in different ways. Or even you, when you play the same song, the situation will always be different. So it becomes a story. It's a living thing. It's not a fixed bite that you send into the air. It's something that develops all the time.
So I had the pleasure of playing this song many years before it was even released, maybe back in 2005, 2006. So Korea was one of the first places that this song really took on life in the world. And Korea is also the home of this song having a new life, and that's thanks to an amazing guitar player. He's my hero. Please welcome Sungha Jung to the stage. This guy. So he has amazing songs and he has amazing covers online, and then I come across a cover of I'm Yours that blows me away. And I studied it for weeks. It's very difficult how he plays it, but it taught me an entirely new way to approach the song, and I'm very grateful and honored that we get to perform it right now. Ready?
Welcome to Antennas to Heaven, Episode 9. This song is yours, with Ilya Aikov.
I was basically a bit stuck. I had finished my studies and I had been working in Amsterdam for about 5 years. And I wasn't completely content with my life in Amsterdam. I just didn't feel fulfilled in my job, and not completely fulfilled in my life, and I wasn't really sure why that was. And so I decided that maybe a good way to find out would be to just quit my job and take a sabbatical year, go traveling. And thankfully I had that opportunity. I'd always wanted to travel anyway, and I really liked South America, Central America, Latin America in general. After my studies 6 years before that, I'd also gone to Ecuador and Peru. And so I knew I wanted to go back one day, and it just seemed like the right time to try and do something different. It was the first trip I went on my own, and so going completely by yourself, even though you meet a lot of people along the way, it gives you a different challenge. And I did a lot of things on that trip that also formed me. The first couple of months I lived in Aruba, because my brother lived there at the time with his family. And so I decided to just stay there for a couple of months, worked as a babysitter, and then after that I really went traveling. So I started in Panama and traveled all the way up to Mexico, to Chiapas in Yucatan, and then back again and ended in Colombia. But there were some countries along the way that were specifically interesting because of what happened there. Like, one of the things that maybe one of the periods that was most important to me was being in Nicaragua, because there I had the opportunity to start playing some music in bars. I'd written some songs before. I'd already started doing that when I was 14 or 15. Never really in a professional capacity, just something I liked doing. And while I was traveling, after a couple of months, I really felt like playing music again. And so I bought a guitar, actually, in Guatemala. I didn't have one with me, but I felt like now I have time. Now I can actually really take advantage of that time and start playing again. I felt really inspired. When you're traveling, there are always some people who travel with instruments and who play the guitar. And so it is quite a common occurrence to be in a hostel where people are making music. And since that was something that I had done in the past as well, it just felt like the right place and the right time. And all of a sudden, I just really missed my guitar because I did have one at home. But my playing has always gone through ups and downs. So I've had years in which I've played a lot and then years in which I've played very little. And this was just the right time.
Down, up, 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 down, A minor. Down, up, down, down, up, down, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, F.
So on the trip, I started playing more again and singing, and just through acquaintances, had the opportunity to play at a hotel in Nicaragua, in Granada. And after I had played at that hotel, the girlfriend of the bar owner next door had heard me sing and asked me, well, don't you want to play at our bar too? And I thought, okay, well, yeah, sure. And then I got invited to another bar. So I had the chance to play in different bars, and that was just, it was a great experience. It was just very nice to do more with music, but also to be able to share it with other people. Smaller groups, smaller bars.
I've been spending way too long checking my tongue in the mirror, and bending over backwards just to try and see it clearer. But my breath fogged up the glass, so I drew a new face and a laugh. I guess what I've been saying is there ain't no better reason to rid yourself of vanity and just go with the seasons. It's what we aim to do. My name is a virtue, but I won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot wait. I'm yours.
And it was just such a nice atmosphere. You know, sometimes when we're like-minded people who are all traveling around, you just really feel a big bond. I'm sure we were all very different. And if you ask me now who was there exactly, then I wouldn't even be able to tell you. But I do remember getting a warm, fuzzy feeling. You know, I have, when I think about it now, that was magical. I had written some songs in the past, and I actually started writing more songs on the road as well. But I played a combination of my own songs and some covers. Of the covers I played, one of the most successful ones that I usually finished with was I'm Yours by Jason Mraz. And because that song was quite popular at the time, most people knew it. A lot of the audience tended to be other people, other travelers. well, a combination of locals and travelers, really. But it was a song that just worked really well because it was upbeat and happy, and then people knew it so they could sing along. It was just an amazing song to contact, to make, to really feel a connection with other people. And that was great. I remember when I played in Madrid, it really was a song that I played almost every time that I played in a bar, and I had friends who would specifically ask for it, so, and they would say, oh, but this is your song to me, like they actually felt a personal connection to me singing that song and them being there, so... So yeah, it did become something of my own. I think that's the beauty of music anyway.
Hesitate no more, no more. It cannot wait.
He involves the audience in his songs and he just has a lot of fun. And he makes everyone else have a lot of fun too. And so I find it very admirable. Because when I started playing in those bars or in that hotel in Nicaragua, one of the most difficult things for me was to actually speak to the public or look at the public. Because I didn't know what to say. I felt a bit nervous about playing the songs, but that wasn't the hardest part. Sitting down on a bar stool and then starting to play after 30 seconds or a minute, you've forgotten that you're nervous, but then the parts in between, and that always stayed difficult for me. Even in the years after that, I felt like I could connect with people through the music, and I did get I've gotten good feedback on that several times, which is very nice. That, you know, you make people feel things. But the talking in between, and it's never been my thing, so I find it very admirable about him.
Ahora tú lo hiciste y ya sabes que lo sentí. Pues yo soy bien frío y tú tan caliente. Me derretiste e intento componerme.
If you think about it, the lyrics are almost a bit corny, aren't they? I'm yours. But then the way that he sings it in his ska way, you know, and with sort of like the Hawaiian guitar background, just make it such a great song. But I suppose that happens to a lot of big songs of the time. They bring about this nostalgia. It happens a lot to 80s music too, right? Or at least with a lot of people I know, maybe because we were all young in the 80s. Yeah, listening to 80s music brings a lot of like memories, but also this idea of, oh, remember that time when. So I think that's a normal occurrence.
Yeah, and talking about lyrics, is there any lyric that you still remember?
Like specifically from the trip or in general?
From Jason Mraz.
I quite like Life is Wonderful. Like he makes these comparisons or he talks about how one thing is related to another, how they're always opposites. Like the hen and the egg thing, but also, well, so it starts something like, it takes a crane to build a crane. It takes two floors to make a story. It takes an egg to make a hen. It takes a hen to make an egg. There is no end to what I'm saying. It takes a thought to make a word. And it takes some words to make an action. It takes some work to make it work. It takes some good to make it hurt. It takes some bad for satisfaction. Well, and you know, what I like about that is like when he says, so if you need a crane to build a crane, then where does the first crane come from, right? Or if you want the egg to make the hen, the typical one, the hen to make an egg, what comes first? Or the wordplay things, like it takes some work to make it work. So yeah, some of the things that he says in this song might be sort of a cliche, but I quite like the truth behind it. It's a bit like, you know, those typical sayings that you can find on tiles in the Netherlands, like the wisdom of the elderly. A lot of this, it has probably been said before, but it's an interesting train of thought. Yeah, getting rid of the travel bug is complicated. But at the same time, I also felt after traveling for a year that it was time to do something different. I mean, first of all, just financially, it's impossible to travel around for the rest of your life. Well, some people do it, but it's a complicated life. But I also felt ready to really get into something again. When you're traveling around, you see a lot of things, but at some point, you do feel like you don't add as much, maybe, to the world in a way. And I wouldn't say that working is the only way to add something to this world, but I did feel like I wanted to develop myself a bit more again and in different ways and also get a more fixed group of friends again, because that's another thing that you start missing at some point, like deeper friendships. Because in travel, well, when you're traveling, people come and go, you meet a lot of very interesting people. But it's not the same as living somewhere and actually being able to form a more profound friendship, I think. So, and at the same time, it didn't really bother me as much to go back, because I didn't actually go back. That's the thing. I decided now is the best time to just go to a different country. I always wanted to work abroad, and before going traveling, I thought about finding a job somewhere else, but that's not always easy, finding a job in a different country when you're not actually there. And so seeing that I didn't have a job to go back to, it was the best time to actually just try and go somewhere else and just try it out. And that's basically what I did when I went to Madrid and I took this teaching course, English teaching course. I thought, well, I'm just going to try this. Initially, I actually wanted to do this course and go back to Central America or to South America. But that was a bit complicated with working permits. So in the end, I did the teaching course in Madrid and met a lot of very nice people there, got my first classes there, and I decided to just stay there for a bit longer and just give it a try. And I really liked Madrid. It wasn't always easy in the first year, maybe even the first 2 years. Being a starting teacher, you still have to prove yourself a little bit more. And especially in summer, there's not a lot of work around. And you don't earn a lot of money doing it either. But yeah, in the end, whenever I thought about going back to the Netherlands, I thought, well, I'm just not done here yet. And so I stayed. And then after a while, it just got better and better. It was much easier for me to switch to a lifestyle that was maybe a bit less affluent, and you know, financially definitely a step back after traveling, because I was much more in a mindset to do so. If I'd gone directly from my job in the Netherlands, it might have been a bit harder. Because another thing was also when I moved to Madrid, most people there don't really have their own house, or at least not when you're younger. And so you start sharing a house, which in the Netherlands, a lot of people in their 20s don't do anymore. And in the Netherlands, before I left in Amsterdam, I had my own apartment. And yeah, so it was definitely a change. But after sleeping in dorms for almost a year, sometimes dorms with up to 20 people, sharing a house when you have your own room is not that bad. Some people did wonder if how long I would be able to keep doing this. And I think my parents initially also thought, well, wouldn't it be better for you to find a job in which you can, you know, support yourself better, you can have your own flat again. And at the beginning, I think they even tried to tell me, well, wouldn't it be better for you to come back to the Netherlands? But more than anything, because they saw the difficulties I had to go through. But the interesting thing is, after a couple of years, when I started missing my family more, and I came to a point that I thought, when I thought, well, maybe I should move back, it was actually my parents and my sister who said, but you're really happy there. Maybe you shouldn't want to leave yet. So they changed their minds. And I suppose my friends had to get used to the idea as well. But mostly people are quite positive when you make a life change, especially if you seem happy with it, I feel.
This was Antennas to Heaven, produced and edited by me, Daniel Garcia. This episode contains a song by Hiroshi Yoshimura and 16 different covers and tutorials of I'm Yours by Jason Mraz. I'll include all of them in the description of the episode, and I also want to send a huge thank you to all these amazing musicians. See you soon in the next episode, and thanks for listening.